Luke chapter 13, reading from verse 1 through to verse 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish."
Many of you here know that before I went into ministry, I was a salesman on the road. And one day I had an appointment in Sittingbourne in Kent. And it was an afternoon appointment, and I was concerned that the appointment didn't go on too long because Corrie had reminded me that morning that we had a parents' evening at Churchfield School at the end of the afternoon, and I had to get back for that. I was quite pleased that the appointment wasn't too long, and I was back in the car going towards the M2, which leads from Dover to London, so I could get back home. And I got Corrie on the mobile phone, and I said, "Everything's fine. I'll be back in time for the appointment, etc." And I was soon driving along the M2. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many miles it is from here to London. So I was waiting to see, you know, the information coming along. However, I was a bit shocked when the information that I first saw didn't tell me how many miles to London, but how many miles to Dover. I was going the wrong way down the M2. Now, you're on a motorway. You can't do a three-point turn. You can't, you know, reverse around a corner and back up the other way and so on. So you're desperately looking for a slip road and a roundabout to take you back the other way. In our passage this morning, Jesus is talking about repentance. And in many ways, repentance is the slip road and the roundabout that takes us back to God. Jesus in our passage this morning is talking about repentance. Let's put that up on the screen. Jesus is talking about repentance. And the word really means to turn around, or more specifically in the Bible, it's used to say turn back to God. And it suggests, therefore, that in the past, we were in a relationship with him, and something's happened to damage or break that relationship, but the opportunity to get back into a relationship with God still remains. And in many ways, you can almost see that that is the big story of the Bible, isn't it, really? The Bible starts with God creating a perfect world, and our first parents in a perfect relationship with him. But sinful disobedience comes into that perfect world, breaks that close relationship. Repentance is the slip road and the roundabout that takes us back into relationship with God. Now, it's one of those things that's perhaps demonstrated most wonderfully in that very famous story of the prodigal son. We know the story. He ends up a long way away from home. And then we read this. When he came to his senses, he said to himself, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. Now, I wonder, as you think about yourself this morning, as you consider your life, have you had that kind of turning point in your life? It may be a simple prayer, a simple recognition that in your life, God has not had the place he should, that you've ended up, as it were, a long way away from home with him. And I think the Bible is always encouraging us to repent by giving us examples such as in the story of the prodigal son, but also just by emphasizing time and time again how keen the Heavenly Father is to welcome us home. So let's think again about that story of the prodigal son. We read this. While the boy was still a long way off, his father sees him and is filled with compassion for him. He runs to his son, throws his arms around him and kisses him. And the son said to the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. This son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The Bible is always encouraging people to repent, to turn around and come back to God. And the Bible is always encouraging us to keep on repenting. Now, Christians are people who are continually to be confessing their sin, continually to be turning back to God. And we see something of that, don't we, in the famous Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. It's a daily need. As much as we need daily bread, we need daily forgiveness. Here is one man's prayer. It is actually entitled Continual Repentance. O God of grace, you have imputed my sin to my substitute, that's Jesus, and have imputed his righteousness to my soul, clothing me with a bridegroom's robe, decking me with jewels of holiness. But in my Christian walk, I am still in rags. I'm always going into the far country and always returning home as a prodigal, always saying, Father, forgive me. And you are always bringing forth the best robe. Grant me never to lose a sight of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the exceeding glory of Christ, the exceeding wonder of grace. Somebody said that repentance is humility in action. And that's what Jesus is talking about this morning. And firstly, he talks about what we might say is the urgency of repentance that applies to us all. The urgency of repentance that applies to us all. Let's just read again verses 1 to 5 from Luke chapter 13. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. The urgency of repentance that applies to us all. Now, you and I know that there is within humanity a tendency for us to feel superior to those around us. Now, I know that in my heart, and I'm sure you do in yours. And we see that, don't we, in our society in all sorts of ways. We see it in racism, where a certain nationality see themselves as superior to other nationalities. We see it in the UK in what's known as the British class structure, where people of a certain background can very easily see themselves superior to others of a different background. We can even see it, can't we, in family life. Even siblings will compare themselves with each other. Who's mum and dad's favourite? Who's the black sheep of the family? One of the ways in which that kind of superiority came to light in the days when Jesus was on earth was seen in how people responded to disasters and other great tragedies. And in these verses that Jesus, we have here in Luke chapter 13, there's reference to two such events. And the first is in verse 1. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. So we kind of get the idea here that some people from Galilee have come on a spiritual pilgrimage up to the temple in Jerusalem. And they've either paid for animal sacrifices to be made, or they brought some of their own animals to be sacrificed at the temple. And for some reason, Pilate, the Roman ruler at that time, has decided to send in his troops to the temple and to kill some of the Galilean pilgrims, so that, as it says here, their own blood was mixed with the blood of their sacrifices. Now, the Jewish historian Josephus, writing in the 1st and 2nd century, mentions a number of things like this that happened in Jerusalem under Pilate. It kind of fits with his character. The nearest equivalent today is what we would refer to as state-sponsored terrorism. So we see that, don't we, in various parts of the world where you get kind of religious fervour, nationalistic fervour and political fervour combining in a very aggressive mix. And it's not unusual for people to vent that kind of aggression towards people in places of worship. So we're aware, aren't we, of synagogues being targeted, mosques being targeted, even church buildings being targeted. Now, although the people who spoke to Jesus about this were clearly horrified by what had happened and what Pilate had done, there is a suggestion that part of their reaction to it was a sense of superiority. So notice how Jesus responds in verse 2. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way?" It's suggesting that some people felt these Galileans were maybe asking for trouble. Or maybe they'd done something, some secret terrible sin, and God was venting his judgment on them because of that. Or maybe today people might say they'd attracted some bad karma. Jesus speaks plainly about that. Verse 2 again, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than any of the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no. I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." No place for attitudes of superiority that we might feel at the misfortune of others. And the same is true for the other incident that Jesus refers to. If the first one was like state-sponsored terrorism that we're still familiar with today, the second we might describe as an architectural disaster, a bit like the terrible tragedy at Grenfell Tower. Look at that in verse 4. "Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them." And again, it seems as if for some reason people were inclined to look down on the victims of that disaster in Jerusalem and to consider them more guilty than others, more guilty than perhaps themselves. And again, Jesus cuts through that wrong thinking. Verse 4 again, "Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." And what Jesus is saying here is this, simply look, rather than speculate, why them, why then, Jesus says we need to remember it could have so easily have been me. It could have so easily have been me. In other words, don't speculate over the timing or circumstances of death, but face the reality of death. We've all turned away from God, and one day death will bring us face to face with him. Will we have made our peace with him in time? Will we have made our peace with him in time? Will we have repented and turned back to him before it is too late. Now, I'm sure many of us were struck by this picture. It was in the news. Morandi Bridge in Genoa, Italy, 14th of August. And the driver was interviewed about that situation, and he said that he had actually slowed down just before the incident because a car was overtaking him. And then that car that overtook him disappeared. And he was able to stop just in time. So just in that photograph, it just tells us something that for one group of people, the time of repentance had just run out. For others, it was just extended. But the shock brings home the reality of death. No matter who we are, no matter what our background, our class, our nationality, however favoured we were in the family, no matter who we are, death is there. It could so easily, says that driver, have been him. Let's move on, Pete. So when we hear of tragedy, whether it's natural or man-made through violence or mistakes, again and again, it's to remind us of the reality of death. It's to remind us of how quickly our lives can be over. It's to encourage us to get things right between us and God, to lead us to repentance, the slip road and the roundabout that leads us back to God, the urgency of repentance that applies to us all today. And then Jesus tells a parable. So let's look at that, shall we, in verses 6 to 9. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig round it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Here Jesus is talking about the opportunity of repentance, but it doesn't last forever. Now, this parable may have had particular relevance to the Jewish people around Jesus at that time. In the Old Testament part of the Bible, God's people Israel were often pictured as fruit-bearing trees, like a fig tree here. And we are aware, aren't we, that Jesus has been active amongst God's people for around about 3 years at this point. Maybe that's the picture that we have here. The fig tree has been given 3 years to produce fruit. But we know there's been very little fruit, very little positive response to the coming of Jesus. So the Jews at that time could be pictured as a fig tree with no fruit, for whom time is running out. But the picture tells a bigger story, because we know that God is looking for all of us to produce fruit in our lives, particularly, as we see in this section, the fruit of repentance. And the opportunity to reproduce that fruit can be great. There can be fantastic opportunities for us to repent. And it can go on longer than we think. And we can have encouragement after encouragement, and example after example. But as the parable clearly says, it doesn't last forever. So I think in this little parable, there's a kind of an encouragement for us who have family and friends who have so far shown no sign in their lives of turning to God, turning back to God. If a fig tree produces no fruit after 3 years, the indication is that it's going to be a fruitless tree and therefore not worth keeping. But Jesus here speaks about extra time beyond the normal period, extra grace, extra opportunity. He talks about a generous assistance being available here, far more than was expected. Sir, the man says, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it, I'll fertilize it, I'll loosen the soil. I'll give it lots of the equivalent of baby bio or whatever you gardeners give to your plants and so on. We'll give it every opportunity to produce fruit. Great encouragement for us, isn't there, when we're thinking about our non-Christian family and friends and neighbours and so on. God wants to give people more time than we would expect, more help than we would imagine. Great encouragement for us also here, for just if we are taking advantage of a Bible teaching church and a fellowship of faithful Christians around us. That's just, again, isn't it, a reminder time and time again that God is being good to us. He's giving us plenty of opportunities, giving us lots of encouragement, even here, even now, this morning, as we even look at this passage. God is encouraging us and helping us and urging us to be people who turn back to him. So there's all of that in this parable, isn't there? But also we see that there is no excuse here for any further delay for our repentance. The longer ice stays frozen, the harder it is to be broken. The longer ice stays frozen, the harder it is to be broken. I wonder whether, for some of us this morning, our hearts have become frozen to God over many, many years. Humility is nowhere to be seen in our lives. Repentance is something very distant and not current. Jesus warns us the opportunity of repentance that doesn't last forever. Well, these are the things that Jesus is warning us about this morning. And he's helping us to think rightly here about the disasters that we hear of in our world. He's helping us to see what our greatest need is. Jesus, the teacher, the sage, the wise man, teaching us this morning about repentance. Will we take advantage of his words? Will we take seriously the urgency of repentance that applies to all of us today? None of us are above these things. None of us are above these things. Will we take advantage of the opportunity of repentance that doesn't last forever? None of us can assume on how much longer we have before we face God. Will we be right with him before that day? Well, let's just pause for a moment. Let's just ponder those things, and then we're going to sing a lovely song to finish with this morning.